boy. Oh, boy, Andy.
Here you are again, Adam.
Here I am.
There you are again, Adam.
It's like The Shining.
There you are.
Yeah. So, yeah, hello. Welcome to another episode of Unfixed. I am your host, Adam Jensen. I'm here with the undelible Andy Dufresne.
Indelible, indigestible.
The undelible.
Undrinkable.
Andy McEnough.
Unsmokable, yeah. Andrew McEnough.
He's soon to be Dr. Andy Dufresne.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a scholar.
Come and operate.
I was going to say gentleman, but that's really...
Has been known.
Has been known to be on point.
Yes.
And on top
at
of
weddings.
His business.
At weddings. I'm usually at my best at weddings
is
and
that
baptisms.
Right? Yeah. That's where you really shine.
Yeah.
It's, you know where I really shine, Mom?
Bar mitzvahs.
Bat mitzvahs, baby.
Bat mitzvahs.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, welcome to Unfixed. We got a hell of a show for you tonight. We have the boys from Woodkey Brewing.
Oh, yeah.
Andy. We've got Simon and we've got Hugh. And
drinking their beers in the green room.
Drinking the beers in the green room. They have to be a little sick of their own beer, no? Because they brought us a case, you know, because we're talking about the beer. We're going to be sampling the beer.
If it's that good, do you think you get sick of your own beer?
But I don't know. I don't get sick of it. Every time I'm at Token, which, you know, I go to quite often, I get the Pilgrim, which is their Irish Red Ale.
That's
on
right.
The reg, my man.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I drink the H out of it.
And does that come in a pint?
It's a 330 mil can.
Oh,
I think
right.
They moved to cans from bottles. It's more eco friendly and about freshness because you know light is no good for beer.
Yeah. No, it's not.
So yeah, and you're enjoying a cup of tea right now.
I am. Yeah,
that's pretty dope.
I know.
That's
it's
adult
the shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from every other last time we were here.
Yeah.
I love being at your bar though.
Yeah, the abandoned bar.
I love being at your abandoned bar.
Yeah, it's crazy. A little bit of funny news about the abandoned bar, Andy, is that we had a break in.
Fuck off.
We had a robbery. Full-blown robbery.
No shit. Seriously?
True. It was early morning. Getting
it
up.
It wasn't you, was it?
It was
night
actually
before?
Me. And yeah, we've been robbed, honey.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Somebody broke in and drank an entire
bottle
of whiskey.
Who was here last night, Adam? Indeed. It was you. You were singing.
Someone decided to break a window and drink the whole bottle of whiskey and smoke cigarettes. And,
no shit.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they came in stealthily, and we were home.
There's no other way to go.
We were getting ready for work, and my wife got in the shower, and they came in through the rear entrance, and they stole her phone, her purse. They stole my car key. They took my car.
What?
They took my laptop.
What?
Yeah, this is not the normal laptop. This
Jesus
is a replacement
Christ.
Laptop, buddy. So
holy
yeah,
shit.
It was crazy times.
Was that around Christmas or after Christmas?
That was on February 8th.
Right.
Mm.
Bastards.
Yeah, indeed. So the cops came. Scenes of crime, Andy. That's what the people that come in.
Special victims.
I know, but it was taken.
No,
that's why they wound up with the name.
Crime scene investigation.
Yes,
it's a real CSI shit.
Indeed, but they couldn't use it because, you know, that's been taken. So they're like, what could we call, you know, the people that go and take fingerprints? They're like, you know, crime scene invest. No, that's taken. And they're like, oh, just write down like scenes of crime or
scenes
something.
Of crime.
They're like, okay, that's fine.
Crime
and then
scene.
They never changed it. And they're like, scenes of crime will be here. And like, even though we had just gotten burglarized, Andy, every time they said scenes of crime, we smiled. Nina and I made eye contact and grinned.
Well, at least you could get something out of it.
Pretty embarrassing. As I said, they took my car key, but because they hadn't, the copy of the key that was in Nina's purse that got stolen didn't have an immobilizer chip in it, so it wouldn't let the car turn over. The car wouldn't actually start with that key because that key was made in error without an immobilizer chip in it. So they stole that key, so they're able to get in. They were able to turn it on, or they were able to put it on accessory, like, and then, you know, push it down the street, I guess. And they couldn't start it, so they left it. I didn't know that. So
it's a fairly populated place where you live.
Was,
did anybody see anything?
Pre-dawn. No, neighbors, the neighbors heard.
Yeah, stealthily.
The neighbors,
under the cover
they came
darkness.
Over the wall and the back and all that crap. But anyway, so I had to go into town. I had to. I walked down the street, got on a bus, went into town, rented a car, drove the car back. And then Nina gets in the car and drives out, and she's like, I found your car. It was just around the corner.
Shit.
So it ended well. The insurance has been decent to us.
Good.
And, we're whole again, Andy.
Good.
We just got a check today.
Oh, very good.
Yeah?
The thing is about people who break into homes, if they've, well, sometimes they can be repeat offenders, as in, like, they go back to the same place.
Yeah. You know, they wait until you replace your stuff and they come back. So this is why we're on our A game with new locks.
Good.
We put a lock on the windows. We use our alarm all the time. We're really upping security. So that's the top of the show rundown, Andy. But you know,
updating your viewers on your.
I haven't prepared for you a formal list, Andy. But I wonder if you could just, you know, off the top of your head and your knowledge of the show, run down a list of what people will expect to hear in the beginning of the show.
Well, I was going to say, I hope we're going to do a little bit of the Southeast Ireland update.
Oh, indeed we are, my man.
Excellent.
Indeed. In fact, there's a stack of newspapers.
Just over here?
Yeah, I'm going to need that before we do the Southeast Ireland update. I'll help you with the show rundown as well. What else we got coming up? You know, in the show today, we've got the litany of segments you've come to know and love. So we've also got 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien, Andy.
Excellent.
That is when we give you 90 seconds of my friend Andrea's mind business.
Where is she based again? The States?
She's in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Pittsburgh. Right on.
We met in college there. And we've also got this show within a show, Andy.
Shower Talk?
The hit spinoff podcast,
yeah,
Shower Talk.
We
More
do.
Popular than the base show. Everybody loves Shower Talk.
Who's on Shower Talk this time?
We've actually got Pierre Breton.
Oh, great.
Yeah. He's
a Frenchman.
Yeah, Frenchman.
This is going to be great.
And the subject for Shower Talk today is a leaky business.
Leaky. Ooh,
so
I like it.
So any kind of, you know, shower, like, you know, the shower curtain or doors that are leaking on you. Like,
well,
this is
wasn't the first thing that jumped to mind, but
good. Okay. Jeez. All right. What else we got coming up here? We got...
note from your publisher?
I do have a voicemail from the publisher.
It's about time, because I wonder how he got on over Christmas. Things were getting bad for him there.
He was very depressed.
He was.
For those of you that heard the Christmas episode, my publisher is a bit lonely over the Christmas. I listened back to that show, Andy. That was a bit morbid. The whole goddamn show was pretty
You're
dark.
You're
going to
expect that around Christmas time.
I wanted a Christmas special with lights and mulled wine.
Well, at least Santa came in and scared the shit out of us.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't bother me. No, I hired him.
Yeah.
So was I was on the in.
There's something creepy about a hired Santa Claus, isn't there? They could do anything.
He was the real Santa Claus.
You don't
Claus.
Know what the person has paid them
he
to do.
He was the real Santa Claus.
He was.
Also, Andy, I have news. Like, you know, sometimes we take the show to the people.
We do.
We take off the headphones. We take the microphones. We go out into the world. We take unfixed.
Out for a lurk, as we say.
To the people. We went for a lark.
A lurk. And you had a lark on a lurk.
I had a lark on a lurk. It is going for a walk.
In the dirk.
Yeah, and we went out to, Andy, I don't know if you noticed this paper lantern here on the bar right now.
I can see it. It's lovely.
It's because it is...
We used to make those in school.
Yeah, exactly. It's Chinese New Year, Andy.
It was Chinese New Year, Adam.
Yeah, in February something.
Do you know how to say it in Chinese?
No, do you?
No.
Man, I thought you might.
I got a fortune cookie on the street, which was great, and I cracked it open because, you know, I'm in need of guidance, and wherever I can get it,
this will set
wherever I can fucking get it, you know? And you're kind of nervous, like, because you're like, if you invest in what this says and take it to heart, man,
right.
It better be good.
It better. So?
You are multi-talented in four different languages.
Jesus.
I could only read it in one.
Yeah, well, that's telling about the accuracy. So, yeah. So, we went for a walk. We did a Chinese New Year thing with something called Hong Bao. I've become Hong Bao, Andy. I've become a borderline obsessed with Hong Bao.
Sounds like a sex move.
I gave her the old Hong Bao.
She gave me the Hong Bao.
It's these red envelopes, Andy, and that contain money that you give as gifts around New Year time. And
okay.
I went looking for the truth and and to reveal the deep mystery of the Hong Bao.
And it was just money.
Yeah, it's red envelope with money in it, yeah.
Red.
Red.
Communism.
Red.
Cloaking money.
We have the scary...
Basically China.
Your favorite segment, the scary news.
Ooh, who's doing that?
Me.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I always think that's Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, the Pet Cemetery will be done. Jesus. The Pet Cemetery will be done. We previewed it. And that is with, as we've said, our amazing guests. The guys from the Woodkey Brewery, all the way from where? Did
Connemara, man.
That's far.
On a fucking bus, dude.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
And he's going back tonight as well.
I know. He said he'll be home for 4:00. That is amazing. He's come up. He's going to do the interview with his friend Hugh, who's also, you know, part of the brewery. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have them do Pet Cemetery.
Like every guest. Do you remember that girl from the theater we had that came in after her play?
Yeah, Eva O'Connor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she did a good, decent Pet Cemetery. Yeah, and she came in her... I just listened to that show recently as well. Mm. All right, so that's what everybody can expect in the show tonight, and we're all looking forward to that. So, Andy, do you want to hear anything? How about, you know what? I would really like to hear what my publisher has to say. Are you comfortable with that?
I want to hear from him.
All right. So, for those of you that don't know, I actually published two books, and I work with this guy who's so goddamn weird that I actually save his voicemails instead of talking to him. I've never spoken to him on the phone, and I play them on the show.
He keeps calling
for the listeners to enjoy, because I just found myself laughing the first time I heard this. I'm like, this might be a bit, and here we are. It has become a bit, and it's become something that we all we very much enjoy subjecting the listeners to, I guess, Andy.
It's my favorite bit.
Yeah. No, it's many people's favorite. So here we go. Let's check it out. This is my wacky, quirky, and nervous in the
nervous
service
in
publisher.
The service. God bless.
And yeah. Here he is on Unfixed here on the Woodkey Brewing Show. This is the Chinese New Year special. Andy.
Chinese New Year beer band special.
It's the year of the
monkey
dog.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Here's my nervous in the service publisher here on Unfixed. There you go.
Adam. Oh yeah. Well, this is your publisher, Adam. How you doing there? I'm just calling to update you there and to ask you about a special project I'm working on, which I'll tell you about. It's important to do new things, as I've learned recently. You see, Adam, I've been in a funk lately, and I hit rock bottom, I guess you could say. The drinking started at home, which you're not supposed to do. And I started off. I would buy a pack of beer at first, but within a week I had moved on to some kind of red fluid I found out there. And finally, when the maid found me one morning passed out in a pile of vomit and warnings canisters, I gotta get out of here. You know, change something, do something new. So what I did was I joined a rock band, Adam. Because I said to myself, I says, what kind of environment could I put myself in where I won't be exposed to these toxics there? Music, you know. I thought it would focus me. I don't know if you know this about me, Adam, but I was raised above a bassoon factory. Yeah. Anyway, Adam, I got some of my publishing buddies together, and we went on to we formed the Books there. I played the electric recorder. All our songs were based on classic literature. But our first show, we opened for a hardcore band called Video Games on the TV, and we got addicted to heroin, Adam, immediately there. And I realized something had to change. Had to try something new there. So I joined a philosophy class, you know. I tried to figure out a little something about the life up there. Yeah, I was doing okay until my midterm paper, which was an exploration of how history it could have been different. If the man in the moon looked like Rodney Dangerfield doing that I don't get no respect face that he does there. Yeah, so instead of inspiring awe and reverence, the moon would just cause people to just point and laugh at it like that throughout history, thus producing what I term a proliferation of bullshit societies. Instead, the man in the moon, of course, looks like a man orgasming in horror while turning to stone, obviously. So finally, Adam, I decided I better just get back to work. So we're going to get started on some of those ultra niche magazines I was telling you about. You know, Heroic Niece magazine. Not yet a Colonel magazine. And I need some writers. Now our first publication will be called Am I Rick magazine. And this magazine, Adam, is for that segment of society who are extremely confused about their identity. Now you can volunteer to write one of the following articles, Adam, and I hope you will. Let's see here. Using your birth certificate to determine if you're Rick, okay? Do people call you Rick? Okay. The silent mirror, yeah. I'm a dick, but I've always felt like a Rick, okay? The name on your driver's license, one clue, okay. Vagina, not so fast, Rick. And here's another one. Mom and Dad, I'm Rick, a guide to coming out. And finally, so you're Rick. Now what? Now, Adam, if you could just maybe select one of those articles and email me, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you with the deets, as they say, and we'll discuss where to go from there. You know, I'm really excited, Adam, to be potentially working with you again on some writing. Finally, get us out of this funk that we've, I think, both been in. All right, Adam, I'll see you.
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's my publisher.
What a life. Yeah. You've turned him to
I didn't do anything.
Your book. spurred him.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do
to
anything.
The alcohol, Adam.
He decided to drink. He's telling me what's going on for him. Why is everything he does my fault? I've never even spoken to the man.
And the rock in there.
Yeah, and Rodney Dangerfield's I can't get no respect so face on the moon, which would lead to a proliferation of bullshit just cultures. If you can, I've just tweeted a picture of Rodney Dangerfield. If you're following us on Twitter,
God bless Rodney. Is he still alive?
Fixed
is he?
Radio. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. So yeah, we're going to do the Southeast Island update, Andy. This is where I bring you the most important and cutting information from the southeast of Ireland.
You cast an informatic eye.
I just see
over
what's
the
up.
Southeast.
I go out there. I do my research.
I'm sure there's plenty of stories after the snow.
Yeah, I've actually, Andy. You know, because there's so much time has passed that I have several stories, and I can give you any one of the following. Okay.
Well, don't ask me to make choices.
Oh, really?
Again. Yeah.
No, you didn't. You got weirded out. Last time.
Did. Yeah.
Okay. Happy, pointless, or kind of bad. It's
let's go with kind of bad.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, I don't use the news for anything else.
Right. You just want to hear, disappointment after disappointment.
Makes me feel
okay,
better.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the guts of the bad story, and then I'm going to bring it home
with
a happier one.
Good. Good.
All right. So here we are, the Southeast Island update, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope it's not too bad.
It's you know, it's pretty rough. Wait, check out this break. All right. So, farmers anguish at sheep attack.
Oh, no.
My friends, I have in my hands the latest issue of the Wicklow People. And this is the farmer's anguish at sheep attack, Andy.
No.
You don't want that one?
No, go on, dude.
Okay. So, sadly, it's not that the sheep attacked anybody.
They were attacked.
Yeah, they were attacked. Yeah. Dogs strike twice as wrapped-up man left devastated by incidents. This isn't that fun.
Shit.
Two dogs twice attacked a flock of sheep belonging to a farmer, killing five and causing some pregnant ewes to lose their lambs, Andy. Another 10 sheep were badly injured, too severely so. This is my livelihood, and it's a terrible feeling to go around your field gathering these dead and dying sheep up. You have reared them since birth only for this to happen. It's heartbreaking.
Jesus Christ.
Are you happy? You wanted
no,
a sad one.
No, but I thought when you said made the ewes, I thought you said made the youths.
No, made the youths. Made the youths lose their babies.
Yeah.
The two dogs came around 10:30 p.m. on Thursday night, but were scared off after killing one sheep. They returned at 2:30 a.m. Like you're scared the burglars are going to return, you know?
Yeah.
They returned at 2:30 a.m. when Mr. O'Day said they were like killing machines.
Wow.
It's like freaking Terminator out in Southeast
Land
Ireland.
Land sharks.
Yeah, for real, right? And the second incident, three sheep were killed, and the fourth later had to be put down due to the severity of his injuries. Andy, this story is an ongoing
That's
matter.
That's terrible.
All right, but we're gonna cheer you up, buddy.
Good.
So, because we got a feel good story here out of the Southeast Ireland update. So, my friends, this one coming out of the Wicklow Times.
The goodness, the happiness comes out of the Wicklow Times.
One-eyed horse runs away and finds a home.
I thought you were going to say finds love, which would even be, but at home is love.
Projection. The sad story of a bedraggled one-eyed horse wandering into Bray Strand has had a happy ending after a local businesswoman offered to adopt and care for the stallion, now named Nielsen.
Wow.
Nielsen was observed wandering from the Shank Hill during course of Friday night, January 19th, was spotted at one stage at the Windsor Roundabout. He then appeared on Bray Sunday morning. A number of concerned passersby posted pictures on local forums. A trained horse handler was in the locality, and she waited with the horse for the relevant authorities. It was taken to the pound where it appeared. It would be put to sleep if not claimed by owners. And local businesswoman Leslie confirmed that she, with support of the animal rescue charity, she would take the horse in. And Andy, they, what is the term? They gelded it.
That's castrated, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, ouch. Like, yeah, that's the kind of bittersweet ending. Is
lost
that even
an
if somebody
eye.
Loves you and takes you in, they're still going to
There
cut
you
your
go.
Dick off.
There you go. It's like an. You know,
it's just a bitter truth, Andy.
Do you think that the one-eyed horse has a horse eye patch?
We could, you know what, out there, unfixed listeners, and Andy, you can work in tandem with you with the listeners, and have an eye patch made for the one-eyed horse, and send
Please
it
do.
Down to the folks. You know, because all these contact details.
If
available.
You lose your testicles, but you acquire an eye patch,
right?
You know,
have you basically won more than you've lost? Because, like Andy, we can make that happen.
You're
generally.
Badass, then. You know, no one's going to care. No one's going to look for your balls.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's keep it rolling, Andy. You know, this is a segment-driven show,
roll on,
buddy.
Roll on,
roll it on.
No.
So, okay, guys, what do we got next? We got Andrea Lorien. We can call Andrea.
Call her.
You want to call Andrea?
Yeah. Good.
All right. Here, just give me one sec here.
Hello.
Andrea, Lorian, hello and how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Adam?
Doing good. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Thank you for doing your 90 seconds with Andrea Lorian, the segment in which you just give us 90 seconds of mind business on a given topic. And we conferred before the show, and we agreed that the topic would actually be burglaries or break-ins. Is that right?
This is true, yes.
Yeah, because you yourself were a victim of a break-in.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, and it's still ongoing somehow, correct?
It is. Yeah.
He's in the house right now.
He is. He's right next to me. Hello.
Yeah, he's rifling through your drawers. All right. So, okay, I'm going to play your theme song. You do your 90 seconds, and then and we'll talk soon. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Do your dance, do your dance, do your dance, quick, mama. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word of wait up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway, word up.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, it's been a while since I got robbed. I'm not saying it happened like yesterday, but it was like September 2014, so a little bit ago. So the thing was, the guy who robbed us, he wasn't just like any regular robber. He was this 6'2", like gay black 20-year-old kid who apparently was like hitting up all these places to use the money to buy haute couture gowns and like high-end fashion stuff. I don't know. That's what I was told, and that's what I want to believe, because the police are all like, he bought drugs. Like, they want to be cynical. I want to believe that a kid had a dream, you know? And like, when he was, so okay, what did he steal from me? He stole my MacBook, which was the most expensive thing I owned at the time, slash still at this time. And he also stole my roommate's work computer, which was kind of a piece of crap, so it's fine. But he also stole all of her jewelry, like every single piece of her jewelry. But yeah, didn't steal any of mine. And I can't help but be slightly insulted by that. Because it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, I have like all costume jewelry and it's kind of corny or whatever. But like, I like it. What does it matter whether you like it? And then like, there were all these different people that he robbed. There was one guy, he stole his library card and like checked out a whole bunch of DVDs and then sold the DVDs. So this guy had like thousands of dollars in like library fines. And like this other lady, he stole her like credit card. He went to CVS and used his CVS card. Like, what do you do with that? So then, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so my laptop eventually was found. It was found at this like really sleazy pawn shop in downtown Pittsburgh. And not only did I have to pay to get it back, but the guy, all he did was clean up the desktop, but he missed, like, he didn't delete anything. I thought it was gonna be wiped. The song I was listening to was still paused on my computer. I was listening to Fiona Freaking Apple, Paper Bag. It's a good song. You should listen to it. He tried to like get everything off my desktop, but he missed my 2009 tax return. So I kept it around for like almost 7 years.
Yeah. Just wants to show you, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Andrea, and we'll see you next show. Yeah, she was saying, Andy, that the burglars didn't even bother like closing an application. They still had a song she was listening to.
They just want to move it, man. Move the ice.
Yeah, apparently, you know, that's what the guards were saying to us as well. So yeah, that's Andrea Lorian, everybody. And Andy, while she was going off, I took a moment to actually just grab a copy of that song that was paused on her computer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is Fiona Apple's Paper Bag. You remember this tune?
I remember Fiona Apple.
Yeah. She threw rants on stage, that's where it all fell apart.
Oh really? I was staring at the sky,
just looking for a star. Sound familiar at all? Pray on a wish
on or something like that. No, especially.
Yeah, that's what she said. It's a good song. You should listen to it.
Yeah. I'd listen to it in America.
Right. If you were in You only was, yeah, you were saying.
There's
like,
some, no, there's some music where that you listen to it, it just makes you very unhappy with where you are.
Okay. Because you said, this is really interesting to me, Andy, because you said that, remember when we had Eva O'Connor and she wanted, yeah, Sylvain Esso's Die Young, the song. You said this reminds me of being in Canada, and this,
that's,
I need,
right,
more of this, and I need to go back to Canada,
that's,
and
right,
listen to this song.
That's right.
So you're going to go to America.
That song, man. Thanks for reminding,
yeah, no
me
problem,
again.
No problem.
I milked that like for days after that podcast, and then I've obviously forgotten about it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go home tonight and milk it some more. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's an awesome album. There's a song also called "Play It Right,"
right,
and that is fantastic. And there's another song called "Radio."
Cool.
Fan.
Remind me of those before I go tonight.
I will do so. I'll do so. All right. So yeah, Fiona Apple.
So that thief was like a link out of the Bling Ring.
I don't know, man. I mean, he was trying to make it in the fashion industry, Andy.
Yeah, well,
so he was like
him.
You know, he was out there like, and apparently, Andrea had actually told me this story earlier as we previewed the segment, and she said that like this guy also, while he was in the courtroom testifying, he said, actually, now seeing you ladies that, you know, I've victimized, and seeing your fashion sense, I'm questioning my decisions. Like, he felt bad because they were dressed nice.
Jesus,
this is what
Christ.
That was his oxygen, was fashion.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we're gonna get the guys in here from Woodkey Brewing real soon. Do you want to hear what we did when we went for a walk, Andy?
Please.
Because we went for a walk to
Chinese New Year.
Yeah, we went for looking for the mystery of the Hung Bao.
The Hung Bao.
The red pocket, red envelope.
Where's the Hung Bao?
Where's the Hung Bao? That's exactly what we went out
to try to figure out.
And yeah, so sure, let's go for a quick walk. Actually, we probably should squeeze in shower talk before we get the guys
cool.
in here. But,
let's do it.
Here is what we put together whenever we went for a walk. And so again, it was the Chinese New Year, Year of the Dog. And Andy, we went looking for and attempted to discover the truth about Hung Bao. Wow. So it was a little bit of an adventure, and I'm happy to share it with you. You know, we put a lot of effort into the Going for a Walk segment.
You do, and it's always great. You always meet some interesting people.
The show actually gets me to leave the house.
Yes,
it's a good thing, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to bring it to you here. We are going to go for a walk. The producer, Nina, and I went to the Chinese New Year festival, and we are pretty pleased with that. So, all right, let's just get this. Let's get this babe going, right? Let's do it.
I'm going for a walk.
Right. We are going for a walk right now. We are doing the Going for a Walk segment. We are going out to search for Hung Bao. Nina, where are we going?
We're going to the Chinese fair.
Yeah, the Chinese New Year Fest down at the IFSC, something like that. Nina, gong ti fei ka Hung Bao ne la.
I have no idea what you said.
It means give me a Hung Bao. We're going out to find out the truth about the Hung Bao and to maybe get some. All right?
Yes, please.
All right, walking to the Chinese Fest right now in search of Hung Bao. Some guy just gave me a funny look.
Well, this is a bit of a funny area, to be honest. I think we should walk faster.
Gong qi fa si Hung Bao na lai.
Please don't say that when we're in there.
We were playing around with Hung Bao, and it was very nice. We played around with Hung Bao, and it was a lot of fun. They're the money envelopes. And now Nina is going to make a paper lantern.
These scissors are clearly made for little children, because I can't get my fat fingers in them.
Yeah. Can I ask? America.
America?
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. You're from America?
Yeah, the Northeast. And she's German.
I am German.
Oh, okay. Yes. You're traveling.
We've lived here for 10 years.
I lived here for 10 years. Wow. I went to America for a month.
Right. Where?
Florida.
Oh, wow. Everyone from Europe and Asia goes to Florida. It's the worst state.
I stay in Miami and Orlando and Sarasota.
Right. So are the lanterns important for the New Year celebration?
Yes, it's very important, especially the red lantern, because we have the lantern festival.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that the same as the New Year festival?
No, it's different. It's after the new spring festival, New Year, but we also celebrate it. We call it lantern festival.
Right. How do you say that in Mandarin? Or?
元宵节.
That's the lantern festival.
Yeah, lantern festival. Yeah.
Okay. When is it?
Very nice.
Yeah, she's good at stuff.
It's 15th of January in the spring lunar calendar.
Oh, right. Okay. This is the Year of the Dog, right?
Yeah, this is the Year of the Dog, yeah.
What makes the dog special? Is it any different from the other years at all? Or?
Okay, normally we think dog is honesty and very loyalty and very... we like it.
Everybody loves dogs.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But if you were born in the year of a monkey, that means you will be very smart and you have the potential of a leader to become a leader. Yeah.
How do you say Happy New Year in Chinese?
Okay. 新年快乐.
Yeah, say that again. I'm going to try.
新年快乐.
新年快乐.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Very good.
Do you understand me?
I can. Yeah. Absolutely.
I have this gong gong chi fa si hong bao nai lei.
Gong xi fa cai hong bao na lai. Here I don't have, but in China.
Need one.
You can make one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Make one. Yeah.
All right. Listen. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year, the dog.
Happy New Year. You're really happy.
Okay, we're going to wind it up, and we're going to get out of here right now. So this is the Going for a Walk segment. We are here at the Chinese New Year Festival in Dublin as a part of Asian Market down here at the CHQ building. Yeah, and it was a pretty kick-ass little festival. You made a lantern. And we found out about Hung Bao.
We did.
And, total success. So back to the studio.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're going to get a dog mask now.
I hope so.
Where are they?
I'm going for a walk.
Hung Bao, Andy. I'm borderline obsessed with Hung
you
Bao.
You had a real yen for a Hung Bao, man.
I did.
And like, it's not food.
No.
And it's not beer.
No.
And it's not anything like those other things
it's
you like.
It's red envelopes, Andy. So wait. What is this?
Gong Chi Fa Kai Hung Bao Nai Lei.
Oh, wow. No lie, I think. And that means Happy New Year. Give me a Hung Bao. And Andy?
I'm
presenting you right now with
so
a
this
genuine
is the Hung
Bao.
Wow.
Yeah, I found these like completely separate from the Going for a Walk segment, Andy. I was in this Asian market down on Cable Street, and I was getting tofu and miso. We like to make miso soup, and right in front of me, there's these envelopes. Yesterday, Andy, Wednesday,
awesome
on
really?
Cable Street, yeah. And you have to put money in, and you have to put money in even numbers, Andy.
Okay.
That's why there's two crisp American dollars.
Crisp American. Hello, Mr. Washington.
Yeah. You can really, you can actually afford to, I don't know, you can do anything you want.
I could probably have a beer and some Roadhouse.
Yeah, maybe, dude.
I'm going to be going to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Is that true?
Yeah, in September.
Because that's the hotbed of the literature research.
Yeah, for me right? It is, yeah.
Andy, the Hung Bao is empty. You keep searching. Oh, you're putting the money back
in. Putting the money back in. Okay. So do I have to put money in this and just leave it in a public toilet in Dublin?
I'm glad you really appreciate the effort I went to get you a nice
now,
Hung Bao.
If you saw this envelope...
I wouldn't touch anything in a public bathroom.
You wouldn't be curious about what was in there.
I would be curious, but Andy,
Chinese symbols.
My fear of infectious diseases would override any curiosity I experienced, no matter what. It could be a briefcase. It could be a duffel bag that had like the whiff of stacks of hundos, and I would not open that. That's a fact.
So did she say that people born in the year of the monkey are going to have a good year in the year
of
the dog?
I don't know. She was just saying that they make good leaders, Andy. Were you born in the year of the monkey?
I was.
Oh, wow. Oh, geez. Okay, so we're in the presence of greatness here on Unfixed today.
Thank you, Chinese New Year, for my lovely red envelope with American dollar money
Hung
in it.
Bao for Hung Bao. One Andy Dufresne. Happy New Year.
That's
Andy,
it
is
Happy
the
New
Chinese
Year.
New Year special.
It is.
We have the paper lantern Nita made here.
Are
on
we
the,
not
on
a bit?
Bar.
Are we not a bit late for all this?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. It was like the 14th of February, I think. So it was like Valentine's Day or some crap. We didn't have a Valentine's Day show, but you say Happy New Year well into January, Andy. Come on.
Yeah.
The Irish people say this someone said it to me 2 days ago.
Really?
No. Not at all.
But if you don't see people that you know, and it is a significant amount of time afterwards.
All right.
You would say it, wouldn't you?
In June?
No.
Okay.
No.
Andy, we got to keep the show moving along.
I'm rolling.
Yeah. So let's keep it going. So we need to get our guest for a shower talk. Because, Andy, sometimes I'm filthy. I'm covered in crap.
Monsieur Pierre.
And, Monsieur.
And talk about the leaky business.
The leaky business.
The drippy business.
So, all right. So here we go. Let's turn on the water. Let's get all lathered up.
Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Shower Talk, the hit spin-off podcast from Unfixed, in which we talk about thinking about talking about showering and lathering and washing and rinsing.
Soaping and sudsing.
Yeah, getting your rippling muscular body all covered in suds and then washing them off. And with the suds, Andy, goes the filth. Reborn every goddamn morning.
Do you remember you have to get the heavy wet off, Adam?
Yeah, no, I know. And that's Andy. I'm top down Adam Jensen, but I don't know if you mind, Andy, but if you are the heavy wet Andy Mackinuff. Here's a tiny bit of shower talk news for you.
Did you get a new shower?
Water restrictions here in Ireland, in Dublin.
There has been, or
there
is?
There have been. They're ongoing. So
that's right.
8 p.m. to 8 a.m., there's no water pressure. And then between 8 and like noon, the water pressure is slowly building. So there's really very – some people aren't affected. You're giving me a weird look, so I presume downtown, like, you're not really affected.
Well, I just don't fucking think about this type of stuff.
Well, and you will if you turn on your shower and there's no goddamn water. I'll tell you that much. So like here in the – Nina that just had a shower a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to shower in the evening because there's no pressure. So, yeah, we can't shower in the mornings. We have to take a shower. And it screws your day up, man. I come home from work. I have to get in a shower, and then I look at the clock. It's goddamn 8 p.m. It's like 8:30, and I've just showered. It's screwing me up.
Governmentality gone mad.
Yeah.
They've reached into your shower.
Yeah, I know. This is, you know what? I didn't really put it like that, but now that you say it like that, that's really the feeling. They're screwing me right up.
Fuck.
So, okay, that's the state of showering in Dublin. And right now we're going to bring in our guest here on Shower Talk. Pierre, I remember, though, the last time you were on Shower Talk, and hello and thank you for coming on to Shower Talk, Pierre.
Hello and welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here. Last time we had you on the show, you said that whenever you get in the shower, you put the water on the back of your neck and kind of just let it kind of like, you know, cascade from there.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good technique. And, as you know, I'm top down Adam Jensen because I do my hair first and let it all kind of, the suds wash down, like as if you were washing a wall, you would totally start at the top. Andy, who's stuck between always hot and heavy wet. Andy McAneff.
Yeah, just get wet, actually, it was, I think.
Enough already.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, Pierre, we brought you in today because you have a special and unique situation going on with your shower currently.
Well, it's been kind of fixed of late, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, take us through it, because for a while there's been a problem in that. The shower was leaking, is that right?
Well, it's never been entirely proven that it was the shower technically that was leaking. It was more the wall surrounding the shower that was oozing water.
But when the shower was on.
Ooh.
Yeah, after. I mean, it's never been exactly technically identified what the actual problem was. We've had a number of plumbers come in.
How many? They all had
four different that I remember.
Jesus.
And that was only in the 6 months that I had this room. You've probably had a few going on before.
With the tradespeople?
I'm getting some great images in my head, like a plumber with a pipe in his mouth. Yeah. Never seen something like this before.
I know, right? And there's another one on the
street. Hang on a second. Yeah, so the walls were perspiring, were they?
It's basically the tiles are maybe 20-25 year old, something like that. And the joints are all in bad shape.
You can see dark space between the joints, like
right
and into the wall.
That's where the insects come in,
and the so water far. Goes out.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, the wall is pretty soaked in, and they all came with the same conclusion that ultimately you'll need to retile. But you know what? What I can do now, right now, to fix it is I've got this, and they take out they all do the same. They all take out this beautiful.
It's called a caulking gun.
Yeah, and what's the it's some kind
cock,
of paste,
silicone paste
that they use to basically cover anything.
Yeah,
ensuring you that will be safe.
The plumbers come in and they take their cock out.
Yeah, as you would.
And they spray it. They spray it in your slot in order to stop the leaks.
Yeah, pornography has destroyed our social interactions with people coming into our houses, hasn't it? It's like, do I have to have sex with
them? Oh, because the plumber's here. You're like taking your pants off, like do it, please.
Exactly. He's taking out his cock. So is that like a short term solution to a serious structural problem?
It actually turned out to be the whole solution because the succession of them come and all did the same thing.
Yeah.
To no avail, so I ended up buying my own cock gun and doing it myself. Which, apparently somehow worked.
Eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's safe for now.
You should always use your own cock for your own problems.
It seems to be the solution. You can't trust anybody else's cock.
Fill up your own crack with your own cock.
Especially when you're paying for someone else's cock.
Indeed. I know, they're like, look, you have to structurally repair it. But the water was coming out from the shower, Pierre, and down into the kitchen below.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
dude.
Basically the water was coming out of somewhere, filtering through the floor of the bathroom, through the roof, the ceiling of the kitchen, and falling down on whoever was there.
Making breakfast, like onto their bodies.
Making breakfast or whatever they were doing.
Into the frying pan.
It's technically, you know, pear juice for your
Lewis. Not
necessarily what you want the most, but that's what you had.
Shit.
That led to a very amusing comment by one of the plumber that came. The first one who came witnessed the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And his first comment was, oh yeah, you know, that's good, really. Like, well, really, how come it's good? Well, you know, when you got a leak somewhere, the one thing you don't want is water to sit somewhere. So the fact that your ceiling is broken is actually giving the water a way to escape, which ultimately is good.
Yeah.
So I pointed out the fact that my floor wasn't broken, and so I did end up with a little bit of a pool there.
Yeah.
That didn't seem to be a problem to him.
Right.
But, you know,
Well, that's a new perspective on shit, man.
Yeah, and you, Pierre, yeah. you said that the problem is now resolved, or just it's not dripping right now.
It is not dripping. It hasn't been dripping for a month. My housemates are delighted.
That's the state of affairs. Any kind of current events, news in your showering world?
Now that you just mentioned the thing about the pressure and the government, man. because now that you say it, I mean, my tap wasn't really working last night.
That's it, Andy. There's water restrictions.
That's
why.
Have you been in any good showers recently, not your own? Have you been in any hotels or hostels or anything? I was in a hostel in London, and the shower in there was pretty fucking cool, man. Yeah. It was like going into a closet.
Okay.
Like the door closed like...
Like an accordion?
No, like the door closed properly. And it was just fucking... really hot and really strong, and I loved it. But every time I came out, there was a Japanese guy who just lurked in the bathroom.
That's
constantly
awesome. I kind of like that idea. It's almost like a weird horror movie.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And you didn't really want to make eye contact with him because you knew that he was just jerking in there constantly. Oh yeah.
All right. So yeah, it wasn't that he got off knowing you were naked in there.
No, he wanted
to use the shower.
Because you're in a hostel, you're sharing a room, you don't have much privacy. So I think he was just like a chronic masturbator that just hung around the toilets.
It's the only option.
Yeah. He was always in his clothes, he was always holding his phone, and he would sometimes stand in the cubicle of the toilet.
You said this is like kind of, you're like, oh, there's been this shower that
but
I really
the shower
like.
Was great. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
You got a really kind of far away look.
Yeah. I had to deal with him every morning, every evening, and every night when I went to the bathroom. I mean, like, he was always there. So, yeah, if you're ever in London and you want a good shower, go to a smart hostel.
And if you want an
Russell
Asian
Square.
Dude standing outside,
well, I'd say he's
creeping
gone now,
you out.
But
who knows, man? Maybe that's his 365 go-to.
Might be.
All right, we got to wind this damn thing down. All right, we're nearly doing a full hour. We haven't brought the guest in. All right, so here we go. Pierre, thank you so much for
thank
doing
you, Pierre.
Shower Talk.
Pleasure to come.
Yeah, awesome. And we'll have you on again. And thanks for coming in. And
come back and tell us about the shower.
Shower Talk! The hit spinoff podcast from Unfixed. And thank you for listening to Shower Talk. Thank you for hanging with us. And we're going to bring in the guests in just a moment. The gentleman from the Woodkey Brewing, Andy, all the way from Connemara or something like that. So, shower well.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Take care. All right, so we're going to bring the guys from the Woodkey Brewing in right now. We have Simon, we have Hugh, and we're going to have a hell of a time. We're going to talk brewing, we're going to talk malted barley, we're going to talk hops,
brewing,
we're going to talk yeast.
Beer.
We're going to talk fermentation, we are going to talk secondary fermentation, we're going to talk bottle conditioning. I've got so many questions, so bear with us for just a sec, and we'll be right back with the fellas from Woodkey Brewing here on Unfixed. Thank you for tuning into the show. Andy, so you were thinking, Andy, you were just mentioning a second ago that you think that song reminds you of another song.
Yeah, man. Oh, Jesus Christ. And I used to fucking love it.
Okay.
Totally
different.
Ah, fuck it.
Maybe I can help that with you with that after
later.
The show.
Yeah, exactly.
As of right now, Andy.
Stop talking about your fucking...
your weird semi-associations.
Your phantom music.
your pseudo-associations are not welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so right now we are going to bring in the guys from Woodkey Brewing. They came all the way from really freaking far away, actually. So we've got Simon. Simon, say hi, please.
Hello.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Simon, what is your title at Woodkey Brewing?
Head brewer, doer of things.
Brewer, brewmaster? Is that too much?
I would be called worse.
if I call you brewmaster, would you call me brew slave?
Sure. You're reading all my fantasy diaries.
I read your blog, buddy. And we've also got Hugh.
Hello.
Hi, Hugh.
Yeah. Hugh, where did you come in from again? I can't remember anything.
Well, I only came from Hoth.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Bayside.
Don't give me that.
Bayside.
Bayside. Near
enough.
The Bay Area.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. And what do you do with Woodkey?
Good question.
Very
what
little.
Do you do with Woodkey?
what are you supposed to be doing with Woodkey?
I suppose social media is probably, yeah. Oh, right. So I drive the car. I'm the one with the license, so we just need to go somewhere, yeah.
application said full driving license, yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, awesome.
I should probably leave then, I suppose.
Pretty much.
All right. So, okay, but you handle like most of the marketing stuff. So when I was interacting with the brand, so to speak, on Twitter, was I talking to yourself or...?
Probably, yeah. I'm usually drunk, so I don't have a lot of memories of that.
Not when he tweets, yeah. Andy. He's usually drunk.
how positive was the response? If it was negative, it's Hugh. If it was positive, it was Brian.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right.
It never Simon.
No, it's never Simon. Yeah. I'm not allowed after the last
time. There was an incident.
All right, and okay, you mentioned another fellow, Brian.
Brian.
So go ahead, sorry.
He came up with the branding ideas, the kind of pure tokens, and he's kind of the day-to-day. The stuff I don't do, he does.
All right. Okay.
And the stuff he doesn't do, Hugh, I suppose, does?
No, you do that.
Yeah. This is awesome. Okay, so, all right. So, effectively...
So, there's four.
No,
well, three.
There was four.
Okay.
And then there were three. Who was the fourth, and he's gone? I think I ever heard something about marriage.
Yeah, Andrew. He actually recently got married, last year, actually.
Congratulations, Andrew. I'm still rocking it. What's
yeah, deal? He sucks. And he just dropped us.
Andrew, if you're listening, you suck.
You really suck.
All right, so brewmaster, marketing guru, piece Brian. Of crap, and the other guy.
Andrew has gone on to greener pastures. He's a good guy, so he just he had to go.
He's like the one-eyed horse.
Oh, yeah. He found someone who loved him enough to cut off his penis. So
and literally.
You have been reading my blog.
Right. Okay, so, all right, so Woodkey Brewing. It started in, 2015.
Well, actually, technically, it started in 2014. At the end of 2014 was when we first started.
Do you have a birthday for it?
Unofficially.
Andrew's wedding was on the birthday weekend, so although he says it's his anniversary, it's the anniversary.
He got married, ditched you, and stole your birthday thunder.
Yeah.
Now it's his wedding anniversary.
Dick.
Deal with that.
Yeah. Sorry, Andrew.
But there's a blurb, I believe it's on the O'Brien's website, that says effectively that two people were working at the one off-license in what street is it? Kilbarrack Road.
Yeah.
McHugh's, is that correct?
That's where I used to work.
And this fellow, was it Andrew, that came in and he was working on an MBA and he wanted to actually start a business and you guys are like, you know, well, we could maybe make beer.
He was like, can you make beer? And we were like, sure, I can write to your face. And then he said he would pay us.
And I have a full driver's license. And you're like looking down at your learner's permit.
He said he would pay us to make him some prototype beer and try it out. So we took the money and ran. And then made a small prototype beer.
That's not good business. Well, like you could tell
actually for us it was
making,
great business.
No, for you absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. For the guy with the MBA, I'll pay you to like make me a sample.
He was having, as he said, it wasn't a Christ conference. He went to see his spiritual guidance counselor or whatever nonsense you do in those things. Who
his
said
guru.
You should do the things you love? And he came and gave us money. So I guess he loved me.
Wow,
great.
But we tried it out and it turned out that it worked pretty well. I've been brewing on and off kind of for 4 or 5 years at that stage.
Where do you brew?
We started in my kitchen.
Right.
Then we moved to Brian's kitchen.
Right.
And then we moved to Hugh's kitchen. And
okay.
Then we did some work with the lads in Stone Barrel out in Bluebell. We did some work with the lads with Stone Barrel.
Stone Barrel.
Friends of ours. And we did some work in, where's the first place we were? Cabra
was the first place.
And then out in I live in the Gaeltacht now, so we brew out there. So it depends on the day. Depends on which way the wind's blowing.
But I mean, like the first time that you ever brewed something, you brewed it in your own kitchen.
My own kitchen, yeah.
Right. And the first time you brewed something and you drank it, how was it?
I did a stout the first time with the lovely direction of a friend of mine called Graham. So it was good because he told me not to, he showed me how to not make any mistakes, which is
okay.
Great. And then when we did the first run of the Pilgrim, it was an absolute nightmare and we made a million mistakes.
Right.
So, but it turned out, we completely made a hames of it, and it turned out well, so we figured if we can do it right, it's going to be good, and it was, because the first recipe we ever made technically is the Pilgrim. Right. Obviously some changes and some
modifications, I understand.
Yeah, of course, it has to be, so you can't, when you're going up from 25 litres up to 1,100 litres is a big, big difference. Right. So.
The 25 litres, these are the, not a demijohn, these are the white plastic two-handed tubs.
Oh yeah, the cheaper demijohns.
Yeah. Have you done beer in demijohns?
I have. I've done mead in demijohns more
mead
beer
is the way
twice.
The
glass is not too forgiving to kind of hold and hop character, so we tend to go with the mead otherwise.
You're also a killer to clean, because you have to get the wire brush in, and that's a nightmare. You don't need that.
Yeah.
It is true. All right. So okay. So you made a version of what? So you did a stout, and then you eventually did what became the Pilgrim, and yep. You showed it to this Andrew dude. And eventually, he said, how does one actually just start marketing, like professionally selling beer to beer distributors, to O'Brien's, etc.?
Well, this was a long yeah, process. This was, like,
I'd say it was a year between our first prototype and our kind of launch. So it was, the joys, I worked in McHugh's for 10 odd years, and Brian had worked there, and we kind of had an idea of how the beer industry works, both being beer geeks.
Right. So so you started to notice how the ebb and flow went of producers and supply and demand, etc.
To tell the overly long story, but I'll keep it short. Mm-hmm. We actually started specifically before we were even a company. That's why we kind of technically started in 2014. Because myself and Andrew were the people who went to the off license to buy beer. We would walk in with. I can walk to the counter with Heineken, got to the point Simon literally slapped it out of our hands and said, "You are not buying that. I'm not letting you." Fuck that shit.
Yeah. They were nice ribbon. People, and I was like working there for like 10 years and kind of being a craft beer geek. When people you kind of, in any job, you build a rapport with people, and they were decent people. So I was like, stop buying shit buy something nice. And so I gave them some nice stuff. And then they came back an hour later, a bit tipsy, like, "That was great. Can we have some more?"
He was in it for the business at that point.
Well,
give me more of that.
He was in it because it's sad state of affairs.
Well, good, everybody wins in that situation, right?
Yeah, they drink good beer. I like to talk about what I like to do. So.
Right.
After that, we were asked to brew a beer up in Hoth.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out. But it ended up that one of the people involved in that knew someone from Fingal County Council who passed our name along. And we were asked, would we be interested in selling beer at the Flavours of Fingal Festival?
Okay.
And that was Newbridge House?
Newbridge House, yeah. Newbridge House.
So we were, they didn't, I don't think they had beer there before. So they asked us to go up and we thought, oh, brilliant, yeah, no problem.
They were like, "Do you know how to run a beer festival weekend?" And we were like, yay!
Yeah, you always say yeah.
We've run thousands of them.
Yeah.
And so we were in way over our head, but we had hundreds and hundreds of boxes of our beer that we had brewed, and it was a beautiful sunny day. Yeah, so we sold a load over the weekend. It was brilliant. And then from that, other people started kind of hearing about us. We were on online. We have a load of friends in kind of social media business, and they gave us hints and tips on how to do it. And it's social media, I hate to say it, but it is so important for advertising.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
No, you'd like to say, well, my product speaks for itself. It doesn't if no one hears it.
If no one drinks it, like, how do you know it's very good? Hundreds of tiny breweries in the UK and Ireland at the moment. So how to stand out, I'm sure, you have to...
And then kind of brand loyalty from
fans. The north side of Dublin, and, like, the area in Donabate and stuff was very good to us.
Donabate is big with wood keys, is that right?
Donabate, Donabate, no.
Donabate,
but, like, kind of working there and having talked about it and kind of going through the process, like, we shared the info with people in the area and kind of had an idea. So we actually did launch. One guy bought a whole case because he didn't believe we'd do it.
Right.
Wow. And I was like, sound, I'll take that sale. So it was kind of, you get that love, and then, you know, it's
and what
same
were you
as
putting
place.
The beer in at that stage?
Bottles.
Bottles. 500 milliliters.
Where did you buy the bottles? See, I'm going to be asking the questions that listeners who don't know shit about brewing would want to ask.
Where
did you get the bottles?
We got the bottles from a bottle supply company.
All right.
That supply packaging for jars, bottles, and all that goodness.
Was that Repack, or what are they?
All pack or repack.
All right.
So we got the standard issue, the bottle that every craft brewery was in for a while because it was the cheapest on the market.
Yeah, Sandyford. That area.
We dealt with that. And they were grand. So we used to bottle ourselves behind. We used to do it with Blickman guns, I believe they're called.
Right.
They're like CO2 pressure guns. So one trigger was CO2, one trigger was booze.
Right.
So you used to do a little of CO2 and it filled them up. And we capped them by hand with like a bench capper. It was deadly. It was absolute torture.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And how many of those did you do by hand?
We did the first two batches in the one weekend. So it would have been...
Were you drinking as you were doing it?
No, because it was like 6 a.m. Because we had to... started at 6 a.m. in Cabra, bottled it all by hand, packaged it, then drove it out for the lunch night. Because we were opening McHugh's, the brewery I worked in was our first tasting. So, and I actually went to a Mastodon gig that night and got wrecked in this heavy metal. And then woke up the next morning at 10 a.m. with no sleep and drove. Ooh. And did this weekend festival, so we had to do. It was a long weekend.
That's the metal side of microbrewery. Would you describe yourselves? Is that too much microbrewery?
I think we're even smaller than that.
It's a nano brewery.
It depends. Microbrewery. It changes every time there's a legislation within here or America.
Oh, it's a legal
it
term.
You have to make under 3,000 barrels or 3 million liters. It's don't quote me on that, but it's some.
Sure. What are you at now? Do you know what your annual production roughly?
Oh, double fuck all. I think we're at the moment. we hope to move to a single fuck all next year. See what happens. I don't know. It again with changes the kind of units in between kegs. It's ebb and flow as like anything else. I haven't done a count for last year. I'll let you know tomorrow. The texture.
And the branding on the cans. As you moved to cans, you know, Andy asked. You know, you guys are filling your own bottles, and so now you moved to cans. And I think I read somewhere that you think it's more eco-friendly, and it's also, you know, fresher. Yeah. It has to be less expensive now as well.
It's about, per litre, it's about 2 cents more expensive.
Is it? More expensive to use?
More expensive, yeah.
But aluminium.
Aluminium.
So aluminium.
But first, the value of aluminium goes up all the time. So if you hold on to it for 10 years, you never know. We could buy it in our own country. That moment where you have a few beers over the weekend and you go to the bottle bank and then some lovely lady beside you says, oh, do you have a party at the weekend? Uh-huh. And we were like, no.
That's just
a few beers. Like, so. Yeah. And with the way the consumer has changed so much from like specialist craft beer is more kind of universal. Certainly. It's in more shops. So you want to kind of have that. The craft beer drinker isn't the person who used to go into the brewery, the craft beer off license after 6 o'clock and or on the weekend.
Right.
It's the person doing their weekly shop.
It's
and
true.
Having, so it's, you know, it's convenience. So you kind of have to match the convenience, and having the cans there, like the green bin is a wonderful thing. The recycling is a wonderful thing. Right, it kind of works in many directions. So we felt it was the best way to go.
It facilitates all around. And the labeling now. Andy is very, very curious about this pewter tokens.
I love it. So these pewter tokens. Can you talk a bit about that?
The way you named the brewery is, as well. And this is down to the excavation of the actual wood key in what was it?
1971.
Okay, right.
So Brian came up with most of this. Brian was doing his master's in history in Trinity. So we're going to misquote some of this and he's going to hate me, but yeah. I'll just add it to the list. So when this excavation happened, there was, I think it was 600,000 people turned up in 1971, give or take, to protest the excavations, which they did anyway to build an awful, awful government building.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Yes.
The Dublin Corporation is a bit of a dump.
Sorry, I would just like to say we are very thankful for all the help
the council
has given us over the years.
The building is as ugly as sin. The people in there are all
beautiful.
Great.
They've been beautiful, really good. People.
Like, we generally went there the first day we wanted to start. They gave us so much advice, so I can't hate on them. But the building is ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
So he explained to us that there was 600,000 people there, which at the time I think was 1 in 8 people in the country.
Wow.
Which was the biggest protest, with the exception of...
That's insanity.
Yeah, it was crazy. And they still did it, which is...
Preserve the integrity of the Viking excavation.
Yeah.
Same, I think they did it in Hull. They basically built the entire city with like glass panels underneath. They basically just didn't do anything with it, which is great. Yeah. But they were going to do it anyway.
You can still go and look at the ancient foundations of an ancient round tower, I understand. Near the car park.
But you're in at Charlie Hawley's Dublin at the time, so money spoke, which is the reality of it, because the country was stuck and he was bailing everyone out.
Gotcha.
So this happened. So at the time, there was 19 different pewter tokens found. They're on display in the National History Museum at the moment.
Have you seen them in person?
I haven't yet. They're only wee. They're very tiny.
How big? So what, a centimeter or two?
Say about the same size as a one cent piece.
No,
yeah, they're only really wee.
Oh, so. I pictured them. I know, maybe like a 50-cent piece.
No, they're like size your nail kind of thing. So
all right, and these pewter tokens, from what I've kind of gathered, is that like people didn't want to be exchanging cash over the bars in taverns, so you buy pewter tokens outside.
It's more a case of abuse.
There was a metal shortage at the time, so there wasn't many coins made, and so. These 19 tokens represented different taverns on Wine Tavern Street as it was before it became Woodkey.
So you can only use the individual tokens to buy a pint or whatever
in a certain bar. So your weekly wage would be your cash money for your rent or whatever you have to spend.
And your alcohol rations.
Well, first, the water wasn't safe to drink at the time, so that's where all you could drink was good beer.
Yes.
And food. So but basically, the person who paid you that money owned these tokens. So you gave them back every week. So it was like indentured servitude to a certain extent. But
interesting.
One of the tokens is my family crest, which I always love to say.
Wow, cool. Shit, which one?
If you see the picture of the nine,
I'll tweet it out in just a little bit.
On the right hand side, the first one down, the two headed phoenix or two headed raven, depending who you're talking to.
Cool.
Is my family token, which is lovely.
Right, and but that's not the belligerent goose.
Maverick goose. Yeah. Maverick. Let's not talk about the Maverick goose. It's a sore subject. No, it's we did this and we wanted to really represent, like, there was so much of, as Brian calls, paddy whackery, which is like, our beer is great because Cú Chulainn once rode through on a horse and touched the barley. I was like, no. So you can be Irish without being Irish, as you would say. Like, you know, you don't have to have Celtic designs. You can just be about the city. And like, Dublin has so much history, which was really being underutilized to a certain extent. Like, it's one of the biggest, kind of, in Ireland, it's like one of the biggest Viking settlements. Like, you know, it's significant in regards to the history of the state and the history of the country, and kind of in Europe, it's a massive deal. Like, it's no, It's no joke. So we wanted to represent that. I obviously my family grew up in, like, my parents, my mother was from Charlotte Terrace Street, my dad's from Kevin Street, like, as townies. Uh-huh. And as you know, there was a few, lots of people that kind of live on the north side through Dunnycarney who are from there. So we kind of wanted to represent what actual Dublin is, like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So each one of these, each
a
one of
drinking
your,
city,
each one of your beers is represented by one of these pewter tokens.
Exactly.
And so your flagship brew is
was the Pilgrim.
The Pilgrim. So this person, that was the character impressed upon the coin. Or the
some variations. We had to change it legally to change it slightly.
So right, okay.
You did.
Who owns the copyright on the fucking history?
We had this argument with the museum, so there was no resolution to it, but we kind of just did what we wanted.
Yeah.
We couldn't show them on our website or use the image because they didn't want to promote the fact that the tokens were used for drinking, because you have to be very careful about...
But they are.
Yeah, well, that's... But you have to, as a state body, you have to be very careful about promoting alcohol, which is just... That's the way it works. Unfortunately, when you look at the as it is displayed in the museum, it says they're used for drinking, but you know, you can't touch both. So we had to have minor modifications, so you couldn't do it.
Right.
Legally, because it's in the museum and we pay tax, we own it, because everything it does. So it was a gray area, so we... Yeah. We agreed to do some modifications, but still keep the spirit of it. And we obviously use wood, Q-U-A-Y, for other reasons. So we kind of just...
and,
like, anything, you don't, the first thing you think of isn't what you have a lot of time. You kind of have to adapt to how it works.
My brother came over from the U.S. to tour around Dublin and things, and he's like, wait, that's pronounced key? He thought it was quay.
Sure.
You know, wood quay brewing.
Did you ask him to say the word boy, like buoy?
I didn't know.
So just to recap, sorry. So the character on the can that was on the pewter token tells you which bar your token was good in.
Essentially, it was the body finding token is Brown, so you would have been in Brown's bar as it is. Yeah. So some of them were, there was a saint because of where it was. So there was some of them were kind of like whatever, it's not ecclesiastical, you know, the kind of, because obviously monks made beer and whatever else. So there was representative of different places in taverns. Some were company names, some were just general kind of, some are just shields and kind of other tokens, kind of more broad stroke. And so it depends on what you got and who you were going, I suppose, and who paid you.
And the time period of it, you say in the back of the can,
800s to 1100s Viking area, kind of post-Celtic. So there was a hoard found here, which was about 2,500 in a slurry pit.
Jeez.
And there was, in a remains, in a body in Scotland, there was like 30 and found around him. So they're exclusively Irish to a certain extent, or exclusively Celtic, for lack of a better term. And they're the first, I think they're the first kind of renditions of like a drinks token in the world.
Amazing.
No kidding.
So it's kind of cool. Like, it's beer money. So it's...
And the Brazen Head, obviously, is down around that area. Would that have been a token bar in the day, do you think?
I would ask them. I would assume as much, but I don't know much about their history, so, you know.
It's okay.
Being where it was, what time it was, Wine Merchant Street, I think it was called. It changed names as Dublin grew up, so it would depend on who was there and what area you're in. But that's kind of the rough area. They were taking off people because it was, obviously, you don't get wrapped up and left in a pile of shit unless you did something wrong. So I'm not sure if they were technically legal.
I don't think legality was a flexible term back then, I suppose.
Yeah, there was evasions, I believe they're called. I think so.
Now, the Pilgrim, your flagship ale, it's an Irish red ale. It's been described as soft and malt forward.
Yes, we also apparently taste like wattle seeds, wherever the fuck they are.
What the hell's that?
Wattle seeds. Wattle gentleman who writes for the Times.
Waddle's the thing on the end of the
He's a Man City fan, he's from Cork, and he writes for the Times, if I remember correctly, and he described us as wattle seeds. And wattle I was like, seeds. Cool.
All right, yeah, but no, you know, the term soft works, I think, in that it's not aggressive, it's not biting, it's very drinkable. I'm a red ale guy. It's been my favorite kind of beer for a long, long time. So I'm happy you made it, and made it your flagship. And it was an award winner. Can you tell us briefly, please, about the award that the Pilgrim has won?
Oh, that was the Alltech Festival last year, which is actually on next weekend, or this weekend. We're not actually going to be there this weekend because we won already. Weekend,
that's that's the 10th March, or 9th through the 11th or so.
Yeah, yeah. So
where is it on?
It's the convention center. Right. The one that looks like a beer can. That's still
it's
there,
the Irish
ironically
craft beer fest. Effectively. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I've never actually gone.
Yeah. So we actually it was our second time there. The first time we won bronze medal for the Pilgrim.
Right.
And we tweaked. You're always tweaking recipes for beers, and we kind of finalized the Pilgrim. We thought it was amazing. Sent it off to all the judges, and as we were at the festival, when a guy comes up to me, he says, "Oh, yeah, you're Wood Key." And I said, yep, that's me. I know we were really interested in talking to people at that point. I set up the stand. And he said, so you've got the Pilgrim. I said, yep, that's grand. Would you like to have some? And he said, no, I'm a judge. And he said, oh, so you've already tasted. What do you think? And he said, no, I'm here with the awards. And I said, oh, yeah. So who won? And he said, no, you won. You won an award. And
he said, he could have started differently.
Yeah. No, I said,
congratulations.
Well, yeah. I said, what award? And he said, the award. There's the award. And he gave me the medal. I said, Simon, we won.
With a ham-fisted delivery.
And I was like holding a gin and tonic. I'm like, did we?
One pinky finger.
We got a lovely plaque, which was nice.
We had a plaque. Excellent. And a medal and... Mm-hmm. A few photos taken, which blew us away. Yeah. Actually, that's great news. So surprised we didn't
won
expect
best
it.
Best in category for ale, so yes. Non IPAs, so and it was
best
a,
red.
It was a Europe. No, best ale overall, best which ale. Was an IPA because I had a different section. Yeah, it, the sections and the way it's broken into categories is very right. confusing. But it's Europe wide, so we did good, I suppose, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely,
the winner overall, I believe, was a pear flavored wit beer from Hungary. So
indeed. Wow.
We weren't quite that good.
Yeah,
I don't know what it tastes like though. I'd be interested.
What's the competition like out there? Is it rough?
It's full of market. You know yourself, if you know craft beer. If you're listening to this, I assume you have, or if you're interested in listening to this bar, the standard issue, or your usual listeners, you would have an interest in craft beer. So yeah, it is tough. Like, it's always growing, which is great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with Ireland being Dublin-centric, it's kind of hard to find your space there, but there's always space for...
Right.
If you keep a niche and you kind of do it well, if you just do good beer well, like, we don't tend towards the... crazy oak aged gooseberry whatever nonsense. Yeah, we kind of just like, we want to make good beer well and make it reasonably affordable. We're not.
Speaking of which, I mean, you're saying you don't need to do gooseberry and then this thing. Like, I mean, is this kind of like Rheinheitsgebot kind of brewing, and that the German purity law that only allows barley, hops, water, and yeast?
Well, that's a lie. The Rheinheitsgebot is not real.
It is.
No, it wasn't.
Well, Bavarian one was the 15 or
well, they changed to the Hausspitz Lafte or whatever. It changed fairly quickly because it was only
discovered yeast for starters.
Well, it wasn't yeast. It was set up originally to basically stop the common man drinking wheat beer because it was seen as kingly.
Oh my god!
So that's why wheat was an ingredient, but it changed over time to add wheat. But if you look at Northern German beers, Flensburger, anything comes out of Hamburg, kind of Bremen, they have hop extracts because that's what they use, because there's no hop growing in North Germany, so you had no fucking choice.
Oh my god!
So the law is nonsense. It only existed for it didn't exist for very long. I won't quote dates because I'll get screwed by someone on Twitter is going to give it to me. But it wasn't necessarily a purity law for the sake of having good beer. It was purity law to basically give it to people who weren't rich.
Okay, right.
So the first, if I remember correctly, the first brewery that brewed be outside the Rheinheitsgebot was Schneiderweiss. That's why they're kind of the number one vice beer, and was brewed by Jet McCulls. His second name was Spaten, if I remember correctly.
Spaten's good stuff.
It's Schneiderweiss is amazing. So they were kind of the first one. So it was more of a classism more so than actual beer lots.
Gotcha.
So we're not Rheinheitsgebot in that way. We just use good beer.
What other ingredients would you use that are other than malted barley, hops, yeast, water?
Absolutely not at all.
Well,
nothing at all. No, not at all.
So
we use Ryan the Ravens. We use Ryan the Ravens, and we use some wheat and the Hunted Deer.
And the Hunted Deer. Okay.
But some grown stuff. Most of our barley is grown by Loughran's, the wonderful people who are about 10 miles outside
Irish
Fingal,
malted
north.
Barley.
Yep.
They grow it. Do they also malt it?
No, they malt it in Scotland because the malting facility is you have to do serious turnover to justify one. So
I
think there's two in the country. I know one is run by Bort Malt, who do the malt for Guinness,
who
are based in the Thai. They're at the moment, if you look at the agri farmers, they're looking for malt growers in Donegal, I believe, in association with Kinnegarth, who's some specialised. So.
Right.
Most of their malt comes from sunny southeast, Wexford.
Okay,
I know this podcast is a big fan of the southeast. So there's lads in there who go. That's why if you look, there's the Arthur's Town, I believe they are. It's run by the chef Kevin Dundon. He has a hand in it. They make a Hook Pills, and they grow all the barley around Hookhead in Wexford.
And just for those of you who are maybe ignorant to the idea of what malted barley is, this is taking barley and actually germinating it. So in doing so, you let it sprout a bit, and then you halt it by heating it. Or you heat it, you allow it to germinate by wetting it.
Is that what happens?
And then you heat it, and you halt the germination.
The sprout grows to the length of the grain, if I remember correctly, and then it's halted. So it breaks down the starch walls.
It turns in, different sugars become available to the yeast to ferment and make ethanol and carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
All right. But, okay, so a little bit of rye in the Ravens and a little bit of wheat in the Hunted Deer, which is an India Pale Ale, an IPA. So that's the three main, you know, cornerstones of your actual products. It's the Pilgrim, the Irish Red, the Ravens, the Irish Rye, and the Hunted Deer, the India Pale Ale.
Yes.
And there's also this kind of rogue beer, the Maverick Goose.
Yeah.
It is a Session Pale Ale, and it's only available in on tap
it's a
right
what?
Now.
It's a session
Pale Ale. It's a Session New England. It's 3.4%.
That means, Andy, you can drink a ton in a day and during a session and not lose, you know, not fall
on
into
behalf
the fire.
Of Woodkey, I cannot condone drinking a ton.
Yeah.
Unless what's a session? Yeah. What is a session?
It's an ambiguous term. It means absolutely nothing.
It doesn't.
Although it's session in America, it means like 6% because it's crazy over there.
Oh, they want you to just go apeshit, huh?
Well, their taxation is completely different. It's a good beer, and you can have a few, and it's kind of lighter in style. It's more fruit forward and kind of just easy drinking.
Can you still get it at the Granger's Cafe Bar right now?
You can indeed.
You can. And then they made a bizarre little thing, I think I understand, and that they used the head of Dark Arts porter. And on top of the Maverick, or on top of the pilgrim,
I believe in Galway you call that a black and tan.
Sure, but this is a porter head poured on top of a red ale.
Yeah, you never had them before, no?
I don't think I have.
It's a Smithwick's and a Guinness head used to be a classic. Yeah. I think it's like the craft take on it.
What do you think about that? This arguably defiant Frankenstein baby beer.
Well, I like the fact that we're most of the point for sales, which is nice.
85% of
the
beer.
I know if people want to drink things in different ways, I've had cherry sours mixed with chocolate stouts, so I can't really begrudge anyone to try something different. I would never. Right. Creativity should never be stifled.
Dark Arts, that's another brewery. What are they called?
Trouble, yeah.
Trouble.
I do enjoy it. So Stephen and the lads, here you get on. They're good friends of ours, so I don't mind. All the beers we put on top, that's fine.
Any other notable Irish brewers that you would give a shout out and a kind of a nod and some kudos?
Oh, the lads from Stone Barrel, obviously. They're wonderful people. Dave Gilfoy, what's great?
I have two very, very quick specific brewing questions. One is, what do you think, how do you carbonate, how do people carbonate without leaving bottle sediment? So, Andy, just to tell you real quick, when the yeast eats the sugars, it kind of craps out dead yeast, like dead, they call it lees,
mm-hmm.
and then that leaves a little bit of sediment on the bottom, mm-hmm. yeah? And then you rack, and so you like pull the top bit off, leaving the dead yeast behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want it bubbly in the bottle, Andy, you have to put more sugar in so that gets fermented, and that creates more CO2, so then when you open the beer, it's bubbly. If you do that on your own, there's sediment at the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah.
How does one make that happen without any sediment?
Well, we, for our beers, we use forced carbonation. So we have a thing called the Bright Tank, which you can put under a lot of pressure and kind of PSI.
Force the CO2
plus volume over time, it kind of does it. The lads from Third Circle.
Dissolve the gas into.
Yeah, into it. So force it into it, and that's how we do it for certain beers. We love to bottle condition, but it's. Or a can condition, which is possible, but it's kind of a crapshoot. It could be good today and bad tomorrow, or it could be really good in 6 months. So it depends what you want to do. If you're aging a beer, or you kind of have something like long term, you can. It's the best way to do it because it develops way more character. The lads from Third Circle, and I know the lads from Brighton used to do it. They used to do live carbonation, so they kept the yeast in and let it sit there, and like it'd be great. So you have their raspberry beer from Third Circle, which is absolutely phenomenal. You could have it in 2 months and be great. Have it in 5 months, it could be better again. So it's
like wine.
There's actually a style of wine called Surly, which is like left on the lees for longer. So it depends what you want to do with it and what you want. If you want like a very good fresh product, IPAs, and something you want all that kind of big hop flavor, it's better to go forced carbonation most of the time.
Okay. Mm.
But with the red, it does a lot. Our cask red, when it does come out and we put a secondary fermentation and we let it sit there for a month or two, it's absolutely phenomenal. But it's just, you can't do that with everything. If you are making a product to turn over in a reasonable time.
Yeah.
I'd love to have 6 months to let my beer sit there and carbonate and do all the goodness, but you just, practicality does not allow it.
All right. And one other question is that the Maverick Goose is available at that the one pub, I'm sorry, it's called?
Granger's Cafe Bar.
Granger's in Camden Street.
Oh, Talbot Street.
Talbot, thank you. Because, I'm down in Camden a lot. I thought I would have noticed. All right, is there anything we can look forward to expecting that's on the back burner
Yes. specifics, no. Our plan for the end of this year is to have a few more kind of one-offs. There will be a stout before the year's out, all right? I promise you.
Oh my gosh.
Hopefully it'll be really good because I've done four or five prototypes of this one stout recipe to kind of neaten it up, so we have some really good ideas.
You're
so
like
it's
a beer magician. Yeah, well, I've tasted several.
I'm like Paul Daniels.
One was good, exactly. One was really bad, so it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, he made the really bad one. We have a few ideas for some age. It's all time dependent and it's all kind of product dependent. I'd love to say there'll be an amazing Imperial Stout out by December and we're going to put all this nonsense in there and have this amazing beer, but it practicality doesn't allow that, so there will be more beer, but I can't be specific.
All right, we're going to do a segment, hopefully. This is something we call Pet Cemetery. Andy, you know what we're doing right now. I'll take your hand, you take mine, and we'll walk down that crooked path down into the misty forest where we will visit the pet cemetery. Now, Hugh, I believe that you are the candidate for doing this little segment. We visit a story about a pet that we've had.
For some reason,
that is no longer with us. For some reason that you just, you've experienced trauma in the pet world.
There's a lot of pets that have
Died.
Yeah. Around my family. When I say it like that, it sounds suspicious.
No, that's the criterion. All right. So, all right. We're going to do that. We're going to play you in. We're going to do Pet Cemetery, and we're going to let you just run with it. You give us a bit of a preview earlier, and I think you're well primed. So, all right.
Can I do this before we change over? Because I really want
to. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, hold on.
Oh.
So crisp. Oh. It really was. It really was. Like, I could sell that as a sound effect, I think. All right, so here we go. We're going to do Pet Cemetery with Hugh from Woodkey Brewing, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it right now.
I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life.
Are we done? Are we ready yet? So what are we doing then? Do you want to introduce the segment?
We're
going to
do Pet Cemetery.
Pet Cemetery, is that what we're doing? Right, okay. So, this is a tale of woe. And it's not one of those funny tales of woe. This is one of those destroy your soul tales of woe. My father, many, many, many moons ago, when he was a young man, much younger than myself, he was one of those most esteemed career-minded people. A poodle groomer. Essentially, he worked in a pound and he dealt mainly with poodles, grooming them, cleaning them up, cutting their hair. And this was back in the day, back in Dunleary, when it was a very poor area, not a rich area as it is now. And he used to stay. He used to actually sleep when he was working late. He would sleep in this pound with the poodles. Not necessarily with the poodles. That'd be weird. In another room. And then one day he... Simon, you're killing the mood now. Stop laughing. One night, he woke up. And he could smell burning.
He woke up one day old.
There was smoke. He didn't know what was going on. Smoke billowing into the room. He freaked out. He jumped out of bed. What was going on? He charged out of the door. There was others there as well. He got them all out. They all ran out of this building, screaming. What? Someone screaming, get the fire brigade out. But they weren't able to get back in to actually save the dogs that had been staying there in the pound. My poor father had to stand outside the blazing heat, listening to these poor pampered poodles burning.
You from Woodkey Brewing.
Please still buy our beer. I know it sounded like it, but we didn't start that fire.
Oh my god.
Oh goodness.
Excellent.
Oh, the death barrier has been raised, man. Oh,
yeah, that was
that was fucking beautiful, man.
Sorry, it hits me deep.
Your days of DMing are really paying off, I have to say. Yeah. Your storytelling's amazing.
Clarice, can you still hear the poodle screaming?
It was actually based on that. They had to change the name. It was kind of ridiculous at the time.
Silence of the Poodles.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Every so often I stand outside, his dad's just going...
Okay.
God almighty.
All right. So, all right, guys. Thank you so much for coming in to do the show.
Thanks for having
pleasure.
Us.
Pleasure.
You got promises to keep and many miles before you sleep. So we're going to let you go, and we're going to do... Andy, we're going to do the scary news, and then we're going to call it a night.
Unfortunately, yes.
I know. He loves it. He loves it.
Can I just keep talking shit now?
Yeah, sure. you can do it to my wife and to Pierre in the green room. Until we
my wife.
That's my wife, ladies and gentlemen.
My wife now.
All right. So, guys, honestly, thank you so much for coming on in and doing the show.
Thanks,
so,
man.
Go sit down and enjoy your beers.
Indeed, it was absolutely fantastic. Did you say really something about Heineken? No, I bet you did.
I think it might be out of beers, though.
No, there's still a whole box. Yeah. And if not, there's a fridge
there's
full
more
of
there.
Crap, man. There's
more there.
If only someone here owned a brewery.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
If fucking only.
Yeah.
One parting question before you guys go. Do you ever get sick of Pilgrim? Like, Like, it's like, I'll have a beer. It's like, for God's sake, this fucking beer. Like,
I tend to keep myself away from it until I kind of buy one or two, because I know I will.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's also, it's important to realize you don't get to drink your own beer, because that's your own money you're burning.
Yeah,
you need to buy it.
I haven't drank so little until I started a fucking brewery.
Right, okay.
Every time I see a can, I'm like, oh, sound 8 hours of my life, you son bitch.
Gotcha.
There you go.
All right, guys.
So what you're saying to all alcoholics out there is,
own a brewery and be cured.
Start making your own.
Can we do Scary News as like a Twilight Zone episode where an alcoholic starts his own brewery, but he'll never drink again?
Scary News is they come through the nether void, and I can't film it.
The space between your balls and your ass. The nether void.
Stories from
because
the perennial.
The void distinguishes between up and down.
Yeah? All right. Thank you so much for coming in. We're playing you out. Don't ain't much fun, so you're looking for the thrill. And you know just what it is. Andy, the fellows from Whiskey Brewing. This is called Save a Prayer by the Eagles of Death Metal.
No, it's the other one that sounds like that's wrecking my head.
I know,
okay.
It's screwing you up. We'll talk about this off the air, dude. Right. Seriously, we're gonna have to come back to that. I know what you're talking about. I think I've got a clue.
I think you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll actually address this in just a moment.
Yeah.
So all right, buddy. I think
from the nether void.
Oh my gosh, from the nether void of the Shadow Walkers. I think you know what's up, and I think you know, because I think you look scared. It's
always
that freaking simple.
Always. This fucking music, man. It
yeah.
gets me every time.
Screws your day up. It's time for, ladies and gentlemen,
the Scary News.
No.
And just to make it clear, everybody, it's not because Andy's actually afraid. It's just because he thinks the segment is garbage.
That's not true.
Andy, I take you now to the nether void.
Do I have to go?
March 6th, farmer Scott Stockman, who works for Stockman's Eggs in Queensland, Australia, was shocked to find an unusually large egg that housed a smaller egg inside. The large egg, which was shared on Stockman's Egg Facebook page, weighs a little over 6 ounces in comparison to the close to 2 ounces that the average egg weighs. Once it was cracked open, an even smaller egg was unveiled. I've never seen such a large egg, Stockman said while speaking to news.com.eu. It's got everyone baffled about why it happens. Stockman ultimately decided not to eat the egg, which was equal in size to an avocado. We're one third of the way there, buddy. A man said he woke up in the middle of a 300-mile Uber ride from West Virginia to New Jersey after a night out with friends. Kenny Bachman, 21 years old, racked up a $1,635 Uber fare after a night of partying with friends from high school in Morgantown, West Virginia. The driver took him to his home in Gloucester County, New Jersey, rather than where he was staying, near West Virginia University campus. Backman said he fell asleep and woke up 2 hours into the trip. He said he woke up in a passenger seat of a 2011 Toyota Sienna minivan.
Jeez, can I remember that.
I know, it's so detailed. And the driver informed him they were on their way to New Jersey.
Did you want to go there?
I woke up.
That's what's scary.
I woke up at 3 a.m. and probably got home at like 9:30 a.m., Backman told the Charlotte Observer. The Uber charge included a $3.94 base fare, a $2.35 booking fee, and $700 for distance and $115 for time. Bachman's ride was more expensive because he unintentionally ordered an Uber XL, which features vehicles that can hold up to 6 passengers and costs more than the traditional Uber X. Each charge, except for a booking fee, was also doubled due to surge pricing. The ride would have cost $819 under normal pricing. Afterwards, I had it fully sink in. Once the ride ended, I saw how much it was when I was like, all right, this is insane. This is just crazy. The Uber driver also informed Bachman he didn't have money to pay for the tolls and had been fined at every toll booth.
Jesus Christ.
Bachman stopped at a CVS to get cash in order to give the driver money to pay the tolls home. And then he sued them, and then they said no, and then he paid it. That's the end of that story, seriously. Last one. The Royal Society of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was called in to investigate what appeared to be a swan who was beheaded.
Oh, Jesus.
A distressed woman called the RSPCA after spotting the bird lying on some gravel in the suburb of Westbrook in Cheshire, England, after fearing the worst. RSPCA Inspector Claire Fisher then arrived on the scene and soon realized there was no veterinary treatment would be necessary for the beheaded bird because it was a statue of a swan that's head had broken off. We can only guess that the driver had seen the swan from the road, which is some distance where it could have easily been mistaken for a real bird. Fisher shared in a press release before noting the site manager of a Gemley business park where the statue was located arranged for the piece to be fixed and placed back next to a fellow swan statue. We all had a laugh about this one, and to be honest, we were just relieved there wasn't a swan that had suffered an awful death. Ladies and gentlemen, the scary news, and we are
local news.
We are going to let you get
woman is mistaken.
Honest to God.
Holy shit, Adam. Where the fuck did you get this stuff?
In various sources. All around.
But the story kept your attention till about two or three lines in.
Which one?
The swan one.
The statue.
Like, I was thinking, man, that's a swan-partnered murder, you know? Yeah. Someone's going to be without a wife or husband.
No veterinary techniques and were then needed. Because its head had been cut off. Like, what's
exactly.
Veterinary?
But
know?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show.
It's a scary statue.
You can hear the sound of my voice. You have listened, and you're listening, and I really, really sincerely appreciate it, and that there's no point in doing all this stuff. For no one to listen, right, Andy?
That's right.
So thanks to anybody who can hear the sound of my voice. I have been Adam Jensen, and I'm here with Andy McAnaff.
Good night, everybody.
And thanks for checking out the show. We'll be back soon. And thanks to the guys at Woodkey Brewing.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Andrew Lorien. Thanks to
Pierre, publisher.
My publisher.
Nina, the producer.
The people down at the Chinese New Year Fest, Hongbao.
The Hongbao.
Oh, man, it's been great. So, all right, thanks so much for listening to the show.
It's been fun.
Thanks
see you
for
next time.
Yeah, see you soon.